I said, what you know about it?
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew lot, baby.
And the room a lot.
Food.
Hello, hello. Oh, that's too loud. I'm going to turn it down. Hello, hello.
Let's try this again.
Yes, do we talk louder?
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, hello. You're listening to The Stew. My name is Jason Stewart. This is my food podcast. Say hello, Chris Stewart, my brother.
Hello, brother.
Andre Conaparo, say hello.
Hello.
Hello, and good tidings to you. We are... we're here. We're doing two episodes in a row.
That's right.
Like how it's supposed to be.
Oh, like 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Cool.
2 weeks in
a row.
I was
like, is there another podcast after this?
We're on schedule.
Like, I didn't have, I got things to do.
Our moms are going to be pleased.
Yay.
Did you tell your mom?
I
that,
did.
That we're back?
I did. Well, she also, well, she was, I talked to her and told her when we recorded the last one, because we waited a week on, I think, it coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She gave me the... Did you record a podcast? Question
she
mark.
Hear you the WTF
chicken smiley face emoji. And I was like, I don't know where it is, Mom. Maybe it doesn't deserve to air.
She should just text me direct.
Get the link.
I'll fill her in. Also, you know, if she wants to hit the PayPal, she
can get it. There's a subscribe button at the bottom.
She can hit
two thumbs up. Helps us keep this podcast coming at you every week.
We'll work out a little deal.
Five stars.
She can
five
hit
stars.
Hit the apps early.
Rate and review. Mm.
Well, we're here. The last episode, we talked about all kinds of stuff. One of them being sous vide and corn on the cob.
Yep.
And we said we were going to do it, and I did it today.
The home run did. It was really good.
What I mean, it was. It's kind of. I'll liken it to like a traditional sushi, where you're like, what is going to be better, like a piece of raw shrimp on sushi rice. Or like a garlic scampi in Hawaii.
Yes.
Like, what's going to be better, you know?
Yes.
They're much different, and they're both good in their own right. But it is one... It is good.
I think...
Would you hit it with a Sears All afterwards?
It depends on what you want to do with it. To me, though...
What do you want to do with that cup?
The conversation about the sous vide is like, you can't... It doesn't stack up against grilling it or deep frying it. Or any other, or even roasting it, because it's such a different animal and cooking method. But if you compare this to boiling or steaming, I think this is way superior.
Yeah.
And really kind of highlights, one, it's sweet corn in season right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's great corn's not hard to find. But it's
not like a man.
Not like a job, you dig?
In this city?
I'm trying to get my work on. But there's no excess water, moisture. The corn's not waterlogged. The sugar, it really seems even stronger in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of been highlighted and concentrated in the kernels and the sous vide. You just kind of have to have a sous vide to do it.
So still not as good as a grilled corn, in your opinion?
No, I think it's different. And I think it's like, you know, we live in L.A. You can grill year-round, and grilled corn is ubiquitous and fantastic. You know, it's everywhere,
mm-hmm.
especially on the east side of L.A., where they've got a lot of the Mexican corn on the cob everywhere, which is one of my favorite parts of this part of the town.
Mm-hmm.
But... sometimes you don't want like that smoky grilled flavor on your corn. You just want it to be kind of like that traditional, just buttery, salty, pure corn goodness.
Yeah. Pure kernel. Yeah, it was corn, butter, salt. And also, it's the first time I've salted the corn before cooking. So before I put it in the bag, I salted the whole cob and then put it in the bag and then put a little pat of butter in there.
Get a little rub
and
down.
It 30 minutes. At 83 degrees Celsius, and that's all it took.
Well, I mean, the texture was really, really good, and that's the one thing I will say about grilled corn. I think because we're so used to eating it all the time, everybody thinks to make it when they're like, oh, what am I going to barbecue today? Oh, look, there's corn at the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
Corn on the cob is not that easy to grill.
You
can undercook it, you can overcook
it.
I mean, like, I would say this is a little more foolproof if you don't know what you're doing with corn on the grill.
Yeah, you got to do is buy a sous vide.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you
seem to be getting cheaper by the day every time I see one come out.
I mean, they're pretty straightforward, you know?
Yeah.
It seems it's an exotic thing that's under $200.
We're still sleeping on the Food Saver, though.
Yeah, that'll be next.
That'll be... I see,
Target's
I feel
real
like,
close.
I feel like if I had that, it would make it so much more convenient and less to think about than trying to get like that bootleg seal on it in a Ziploc.
Yeah.
It works well, though, but it kind of like...
It is a bootleg-ass seal. Well, I got the roller skate. You got the key, baby.
I know.
I got the V.
When we were gonna do
Christmas is coming.
When we were gonna do the 72-hour oxtail, I think I went on Craigslist to find one, and then we ended up like not scheduling it, so I didn't buy it. But I mean, that's the kind of thing too. When you do like the really long sous-vides, I think you want a bag you can count on.
And I feel like a vacuum sealer. That's one thing where like. Getting the Target version is not going to be a good idea. Like,
no, it works fine.
Really?
Use it all the time.
I was with you. Oh. I was like, yeah.
No,
don't
that's
get
why
a
I said
one.
It. I would assume
it's like a food processor. Like,
yeah.
If you get the $49 one, it's useless. You need to buy like $200 one.
The brand Food Saver is like a big company, and that's what they sell at Target. It's not like a janky one. You know, that's
how much do it cost?
I don't know, less than a hundo.
Okay.
Look, man, they're just trying to get you like the printers. They're just trying to get you to buy that ink. It's all about the bags.
I was getting there, by the way.
The first one's free. It's the bags that are...
Well, you just don't be a sucker. Just go on... pro tip. Go on uline.com. You can get a whole spool of the bag because you never want to get individual ones because that's
just a
huge waste.
Yeah.
Plus, you have less control of the size. You know,
yeah, the bag
big,
you just seal
short,
it wherever
tiny.
You want.
Yeah,
it's
you just cut it off and you
so
do
the U-line you can make
end,
as long
you
as you want.
There.
Like the dot matrix printer.
100%.
You can do a 6-foot banner, no problem.
Exactly.
So it's like Mario's in Glendale. You can get that sandwich as long as you want it. You just got to call them 48 hours in advance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll steal it for you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good to know. U-line.
Yeah. U-line. Well, I mean, there's analogous ones, but a U-line works great in there.
First pro tip of the episode.
Hope you got your pens out, kids.
Let it be known.
You with a U, not the, you know, not...
Letter U, not letter Y-O-U. Yeah, my girlfriend wants me to buy her a hand truck from Uline just because she thinks it looks cool. And it does look very cool. They have like a super sick chromed out hand truck. And she's like, I don't need this. I don't know why I want it, but I just really want it.
Two wheels or four?
Two. Just a standard hand truck, but it's like the really nice chrome, shiny tech one that can also lay down flat. Has the wheels up top, so you can.
I'm saying it's a four wheel.
Oh, okay. I guess you're right.
Come on now. What I said.
Is this your soft pitch for me to mention Yeti coolers? Because I want one, but I don't know what I'm going to do with it, man.
Yeti coolers.
Please be listening. But you could carry it back from the farmer's market. You could use it to.
That's what we use ours. That's why.
Outwater. Farmer's market.
I mean, I'm still just an Instagram chef, baby.
But you're not going to use that hand cart to tow it back. Pile that up with some local seasonal vegetables.
Fresh
and
local produce.
That's how you could use it. Yeah. Fresh
okay.
Local produce.
Local produce.
Okay. Good to know.
And you can get your own reusable crates, the kinds that fold in and fold down. You got to get a connect on a shipping dock.
You got to.
If you know anybody who works with docks.
Come up.
If I have a connection at the shipping dock, I'm not going to use it for collapsible crates. I'm going to use it for like
methamphetamines,
importing and exporting goods,
Ferraris and stuff.
Human trafficking, flat screens that maybe have fallen off on accident.
Well, exotic animals.
Hey, man, you got priors that stick to crates.
I got priors.
Okay, that's true. I got warrants.
Oh, they're
crates only.
Just saying they're handy.
How much is this cart?
$200.
Okay.
Ooh.
It's an art piece at that point.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. It would fit nicely in the Broad Museum.
Yes.
Just opened here in LA.
I'm so excited.
Check it out.
So excited.
I'm not excited.
Why?
I don't know. That type of art doesn't really interest me.
It's huge. Their whole breadth of work is
gigantic. I want to see the actual building.
The building is beautiful.
Which looks cool, but, you know, like...
I just need to see the interior.
I've already seen the giant metallic inflatable coons, and I've seen... Campbell's soup screen print before, you know, it's a cool collection, but I'm not a flav.
It's not on Velvet. It's not going to get my attention.
It's
that's the way I see it.
It's not my flav.
Okay, well, just download the app. Anybody who's listening, I recently downloaded it. That's a motorcycle that went by. It's a fantastic application.
Broad.org.
Walk you through everything. And
don't
it's
know
free,
why we
people.
Keep plugging Broad.
It's free.
Is it free?
Yeah.
Broad's got paper
it's
like
applicable.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the museum's free in perpetuity.
Yeah.
Damn.
Damn.
Art talk.
I already
over.
cooked some other things today. now that I'm back in town, I have some free time. I'm trying to get back on my recipe grind. And I made for the first time chicken liver pate.
It was almost, it was more like a mousse almost. Just to me, like the texture, I mean, look, I absolutely loved it. And it had a similar quality to like the mouthfeel and the texture of the mousse at Alimento, which is one of my favorite things in the universe.
Is that a mousse or a pate?
I don't know.
I think it's a pate.
They call it a pate.
It's just like ours at Good Girl. It reminds me of it so much, but it's a different
I'll tell you the difference between the two. Well, first off, I used mezcal just randomly, not because I was trying to be cool, but because that's the only alcohol I have in my house right now. And you usually put a little alcohol in the mix, sometimes while you're cooking it down or sometimes after it's cooked and you hit it in the food processor and you pour a couple glugs of alcohol in there, and that gives the bite to combat the kind of iron, livery, strong flavor that can be a turnoff to a lot of people. But I used mezcal randomly. I took a chance, and it worked out very well. Andre didn't pick up on it. Stewie picked up on some smoky notes that really helped out, and I think I'm going to add more next time.
Well, I think that you use a fairly decent mezcal too. If you're going to use another mezcal, you'd use something a little more on the añejo tip where you get more smoke. If we taste it right now, which I'm considering going and going to the kitchen and grabbing a little nip for.
So instead, because I use the silver.
Yeah, that's a little smoke.
Yeah, so use the darker mezcal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're listening, don't steal my mezcal pate idea. I invented that shit.
Trademark.
Let's edit that out.
It's okay if I say that SHIT word.
Oh, no, I meant the whole thing that we just gave away. shit. Sorry.
But it was very easy to make, very fun to make, very satisfying, and it's like a wonderful, luxurious treat that is inexpensive.
Right. It's amazing.
Chicken livers cost $3 a pound, which is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
About a half a pound. It was $1.70.
Yeah, it goes
half
a long
an onion,
way.
Some so garlic, some.
You're adding a lot of butter, you're adding cream, you're adding some stuff. I mean, the livers not only are cheap, but it goes a long way. Like when you look at what you had finished today, and that's a half pound of chicken livers. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's more pate than the three of us could eat if we were hungry.
Sure. Oh, yeah, way more.
Was it? Were they all uniform color, or do you get some variances in color? Because sometimes you get something from like a tan to a
they were all
like a
uniform, pretty dark color. Mm. But the one thing I was wondering is a lot of times I see the chicken liver pate, and it's a little more pink.
Those are delicious.
And the one I made was a little more brown, doo-doo brown. And I was wondering, do they either cook them to a medium rare, so there's still a lot of redness in there, or do they put a little drop of food coloring in there?
There's often lighter colored livers that you'll get as well that are closer to like a taupe.
Yeah. So I need to find out the pink liver.
When we made our spam too, there was an ingredient that a lot of recipes call.
Oh, it's the sodium nitrite.
Right. I mean, is that something that
they use? The pickling salt.
Yeah. Do they use that?
That's actually a good idea. I'm going to write that down.
So I don't know if that's an ingredient that is ever common in mousses or.
Interesting. Well,
or country spreads, if you will.
Country spreads. The difference between the pate and the mousse is the mousse has whipped cream in it.
Okay.
And that's it. And then the pate is only butter.
Right.
So sometimes you will put the livers with butter and a little bit of cream in the food processor, and then if you want to make the full fluffy mousse, you make straight up whipped cream, and then you fold that in. Gently, okay. Like you're making a souffle or something like that. But highly recommended. And then
sounds pretty fun to make.
You do need a few. You need a few kitchen tools that are kind of.
You need a food processor
to get around. You need a good chinois and you need a food processor to get the texture that nice. I mean, I thought what you served today was like perfect. It's exactly what I
thank
kind of want.
You, my friend.
So,
and the other variation that I didn't try out yet. But a lot of times, like at the Alimento chicken liver pate, they serve it with like a fruit jam of some kind. What is it? Like a cherry preserves or something like that?
Yeah, I can't remember what it is on the plate.
But a lot of places will do that, like serve it with some type of fruit, like a cherry.
Like a sauce on the plate, you mean? Not dolloped right on the...
On the side, to like a sweetness to cut the richness. So the idea that I came up with in some type of... I don't know how I came up with it, but freezing grapes, which I love doing... And then while they're in the frozen state, much like cutting Korean barbecue beef, you are then able to thinly slice the grapes into like millimeter thick little beautiful grape rings.
Well, that sounds dangerous.
And then lay those on top of the little crostini with the liver on top. And if you do get really good at it, I envisioned like a fish scale like pattern of grapes going all across it. It would be very tedious and very impossible to pull off.
It would be a lot of grape.
You would need to chill your plates.
Because the grapes go from froze
so quick
to unfroze in a minute.
You're going to have to do this in a walk-in.
If you could get tweezers and actually mandolin them while tweezering them would work too.
Take that for a walk.
Yeah, it'd be one of those things where I'm going to do it one day, but it's going to be one of those things where like I spend an hour making it and it's like the Bon Appetit cover shot, and then I'm never going to do it again.
Nope. Never.
It's going to be my white whale.
Yeah.
It's going to be my gold No Limit tank.
The 40th.
You only make one, baby.
I think sinks real quick.
The 40th birthday jump off.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
But there's also the two schools of when you're getting pâté brought out to you, whether it's on a crostini, which you served it on, which would be like, you know, a nice French baguette, sliced thin, baked in the oven, and then nice and crispy, or the kind of like the large sliced, mild grilled bread that kind of comes out like in two pieces and you can kind of tear and kind of like swirl, spread on. And I like both.
I like both too.
I think
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what the best.
They're not mutually exclusive. There's a place for both of them in this world. But I really do like grilled bread, big grilled bread.
Mm-hmm. And then just sop it up.
Sop it.
I'm gonna do the completed one with the grape fish scale with some Persian sangeek bread.
Okay.
Which is, you'll see it on Instagram one day. Not you, Andre, because you don't have Instagram.
Somebody will show it to me on their phone.
I'll even capture it and text it to you.
And speaking of Persian bread, I also made Olivier salad, which is a Persian potato chicken salad with peas and cornichons, which is
also really good.
Which is an interesting. It's a dish that I fell in love with when I first started eating Persian food. And it's just like a very delicious cold potato-y, chicken-y salad, and it has peas all up in it. But I mushed it together in the mortar and pestle.
The mocajete.
The mocajete, yeah. No, it's
is it? I don't know.
It's not lava rock.
For your birthday.
It's just marble. It's like
not
a
volcanic.
It's smooth. Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
It's not volcanic. But I feel like that's a good way to make potato salads because, and also when I cook the potatoes I. Did them in like little mini kind of like half inch, quarter inch cubes.
So it would mash well.
And then sous vide them with some olive oil and rosemary. So they had like a good, they still held their shape. And then when you smush it in the mortar and pestle, some of it mushes up and creates like the thickness of the sauce without having to use too much mayo. And then some of the chunks will stay whole so you get a little potato-y bite.
So I think maybe that might be my criticism of the dish is that it needed to be boiled.
Were the potatoes a little under?
If they were, no, it's too starchy because the starch isn't going anywhere. It's living inside of it. So it's not getting, you're not losing some of it in the boiling process and in the straining process. So it actually just, it was distracting like to have such an intense starch and slash potato flavor that you like, do I call it chicken or do I call it potato with chicken? Because it's really, it has a lot of potato salad to it as opposed to chicken.
Well, that's how a normal version of it is.
It's more,
That is an interesting point.
But the flavor is so intense of potato, which is cool, you know, but it's just, that would be the
it was very fun eating the little sous vide potato cubes
by themselves.
Sounds it was
fantastic.
Like, They just soak up rosemary and olive oil.
That's another good segue.
It's like a weird little, it's like a square boba ball of potato almost.
So next time we do that, and then we just pan fry them real hot like.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Or you boil half and you sous vide the other half.
Or the thing that I just learned.
No, but I was saying it for a completely different dish. You sous vide those potatoes and throw them in a nice hot pan.
And your hash is ready to go.
You and I were thinking the same thing because you didn't hear this. Jason knows this. Just set up a Sears All for the first time today.
Exclusive.
You texted me that you guys picked one
up. We picked one up at the restaurant.
Oh, cool.
But we realized we had the wrong. This is all sorts of pro tips coming your way.
First explain what a Sears All is to our listeners who don't know.
I think you might do a better job of it.
A Sears All is an attachment to a blowtorch that allows you to basically turbocharge your blowtorch and concentrate that flame, and it like multiplies.
Started on Kickstarter, right?
It started on Kickstarter. David Chang is behind it somehow. I know. I think he's maybe an investor or a spokesmodel or something.
It's first of all, if you're looking up, it's Sears with a Z, so S E A R Z A L L. And then I think the people that make it up, their corporation is called Booker and Dax, DAX,
which is the guy. Which Booker and Dax is a bar in New York.
Oh, right.
And there's a podcast, I think it's called Chewing the Fat, and the host is the guy from Booker and Dax, and he's like, it's a good podcast to listen to if you're into like getting into the scientific super deep elements of the cooking world, but he's more on the cocktail side.
Okay. Well, that makes
so he yeah. like he's like an Alton Brown kind of guy where he will know like crazy physics and chemistry and all that part
all
of food.
The nitrates and the gastrics.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Cool. But he, I mean, they maybe invented it for, I don't know, lighting stuff on fire. But everyone seems to use it for searing things after it's been sous vide or sushi.
It's basically like a portable broiler.
Yeah.
To me, that's what it seemed like. And you look at it when it's, I mean, I haven't really used this, first time I've ever seen it in person. But, you know, you see the videos and it's pretty
Yeah, it's like a. Explosive. I mean, it's almost an industrial tool compared to if what you're thinking, what we're describing is like one of those pastry torches you buy at Sur La Table. This is very different from that because this will get BTUs exponentially higher, hotter, more controllable, and
a larger flame.
And a larger surface area.
Because normally everyone will use the little blowtorch that you have for like a campfire, and the little hole coming out, the flame is like a half inch or something like that.
That's
and this
what
makes
you
it
use,
like,
though.
Yeah, that's
it
what
just
you use.
It takes that and transfers it.
Yeah, you just put that on top of it, and then you have like a 2 or 3 inch flame shooting out at probably, I don't know, like 10 times the heat. So you can just really hit that son of a gun.
It's living inside of it like a bell. It looks like an old school vocal tracking mic from like the 50s.
Yeah, it's a little steampunky.
It's a little steampunk, but it makes...
Does it come with goggles?
It's actually... I think it has to do more with the physics, because there's... It's maybe 3.5 inches in diameter, and it has a screen like a screen door, but a much higher grade of metal, so it doesn't melt, for one thing. And then the open-air bell jar...
Jet fuel would melt it.
Sure. Well, we're not cooking with jet fuel, baby.
Kryptonite would melt.
9/11.
So the size of it and the shape of it helps concentrate and evenly distribute the flame all the way down to, you have to have the opening an eighth of an inch, and it has this little wooden doweling to separate the source of the flame and it, because it needs to bring an air almost like a hot air balloon.
Mm.
So picture a hot air balloon, but the top of it covered with a grate, and that's this somewhat evenly dispersed flame for searing, and you'll see this silly looking ring, and that's what looks ornamental, but really it's a depth gauge about a quarter inch away from the heating element, so that when you put it next to your fish or your steak or whatever you're trying to directly apply heat to, it's like that's a pretty good distance that you're going to want to have from it without like touching it. Plus, if you're like, you know, your hand shakes or somebody bumps into you behind, which happens on the line or whatever, that's like a safety guard. So it looks steampunky, but we realized by practical usage, like, oh, these are all very important.
Right.
So, don't.
So yeah, have you used it?
Yeah, we used it.
What'd you use it on?
We have a charred pork dish, a charred pork rice noodle salad, and we sous vide the pork with the marinade and the rub. And we'd slice it into medallions and then just throw it on the flat top or the just in a big saute pan. Mm-hmm. But now, but pre-Searsol, it'd be hard to get the edges, so we'd have to cook it longer on the face, mm-hmm. and we'd be dry. It would start to get too dry. Luckily, it's for this rice noodle salad, it comes in a little like a soup cup, and then we apply the dressing, and you serve it in the dressing. So if it was dry, it's not too bad because mm-hmm. now it's going to be soaking in this dressing. So now when you order it, we can cook it for less time, keeping the rendering less of the fat, or just like getting it to the point that we really like it, but it still has that nice burnt edge that looked mm-hmm. like it had been finished. So you just go over the whole outside, then slice it, and then when it's to order, you drop them on the
nice.
So it's really, really nice. So she gets it just how she Deep Tran, shout out, gets it the way she wants it, which is ideal. And then we'll go from there, probably with our steaks and other things, mostly for proteins. And then, God knows, who knows?
I really want to give it a try.
A perfect example of a professional explanation of why this is being used in the kitchen.
Ah.
You nailed it, Stewie.
Oh, and we were saying that the whole... So we had it for
it's like,
weeks.
And then I chase everybody else around with it in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I also dropped it in the toilet. I'm so sorry.
No, but you said campfire, and it actually... Those classic green Coleman campfire propanes, yep. That's what you have to use because of the weight. The ones that you get in the restaurant that has the pastry torch,
yep.
It's much taller and much skinnier, which is totally sketchy.
Not what you want.
It'll fall over because when you're using it and using it a lot, it stays hot for a long time,
right.
Hot to the touch, so you need it on that big Coleman just so it doesn't, just for safety's sake, which yep. is huge.
Hot to the touch.
Which is the first priority in all kitchens.
Mm-hmm. It is. Also, it's a trip to...
That's your ass, Stewie.
I don't want my ass like that. So anyway, there you go. It was a lot of fun, and it's very much follow the directions, listen to what I said, get that Coleman, don't waste your time, because then you just beeps. It's like that Christmas present that you get, but you needed that part because like mom or dad didn't read the instructions just right, and you can't put your bike together because you're missing something. Like it'll bum you out. So get the whole set. If you go on Amazon, that has, it says you want Searsol coupled with this Coleman coupled with the just the right size torch.
Customers also
like, get the bundle because it'll just be.
How much was it?
$75 for the Searsol. I think the bundle. I noticed the bundle today with everything. It's like $117 because those torch attachments that fit on top of the butane tank are more expensive than you think. They're probably like $35-$40.
So now we need the Searsol and the food saver.
Mm-hmm. Dude, Christmas.
Yeah, we could do it all for $200.
It's true.
Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. Let's not have the blues this year, boys. Let's get the Searsol.
Done. Searsol, if you're listening, give us one.
Also, Yeti, we still here. Don't you're our first love.
At us.
Mm-hmm. You're the bottom.
No, I mean, I think it's one of those things, too, where you can't imagine how often or how many things you could do with it until you have it in your home and you start using it.
Yeah.
You're like, do I really need an industrial-grade food torch? No, but if you had one, you could do some wonderful things with it.
Like when I'm sure our listeners at home, some of them have a Fry Daddy.
Yeah.
Do you need a Fry Daddy? You probably not. If you bought a Fry Daddy, did you get drunk and fry everything in your house when you got it? The answer is 100%. Of course you did.
For real.
Because that shit is very fun.
And yeah, when we got the fryer for the pop-up for those first couple of days when we were playing with recipes, I think we tried to fry everything we possibly could.
Back when we were living together, you had a Fry Daddy.
That's right.
And we would have party. Maybe you didn't. Maybe we had deep fry parties though.
Yeah, but we would just use a candy thermometer and
keep right. But we would have like a bunch of people over.
But when that
over.
Oil was going, everybody started frying whatever they could find in that.
Yeah, it started with a squash blossom stuffed with ricotta, and it ended with just like, let's just pour water in it and see what happens.
Which is why I
shoelaces,
pancakes.
Why now wear glasses? Lost an eye that night, but it was worth it.
The bummer about stovetop frying is the cleanup, but the beauty of having the Fry Daddy is you just plug it in outside on your patio and
frying outside, frying in the background.
Watch the roaches though; they're gonna come at you.
The roach? What?
Of course, you have a bunch of oil around your in your backyard. You think, oh, I fried in the backyard; it's all good. But then you like. that oil is going to attract buku roaches. Roaches.
So if you don't buku roaches.
Roaches. So you got a
buku roaches.
Roaches. Just one little seven mesco all night came. Goddamn little half a oz.
So roaches love oil.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's some oily ass motherfuckers, ain't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, also it's oil that you have been frying foods in. So it's, it's like used oil. They love.
So cockroaches ain't too proud to bag those cockroaches.
No, if you're just going to hit a little spray bottle of Simple Green and a little water, and you're straight.
Okay. Stewie, full.
Don't sleep on the Simple Green, though.
Simple Green.
Them roaches will come get you.
Stewie knows how to tangle with a roach.
I mean, obviously, at your house, you don't want gnarly degreasers. You can go to the restaurant grade stuff.
Right.
But, like, honestly, Simple Green for home use, for cleaning damn near anything, is probably the best.
Simple Green is a miracle cleaner.
Simple Green OxyClean.
I'm going to see Gnarly Degreasers this weekend at the LRA.
I think they're opening for Converge.
I was recently out of town in New York and San Francisco.
Ooh.
But in New York, I ate a few things. one of them, I was driving from New York to Virginia for a wedding, and I went to Nando's.
In the D.C.?
In Baltimore. Area or Maryland area. They have, like, Maryland is the only place in America where they have Nando's. I think maybe in New Jersey too. Are you familiar with Nando's?
No, I'm not.
It was on the wire, so I wouldn't know.
Nando's is a peri peri chicken place that's really popular in the UK. It's basically like the In-N-Out and Del Taco of London.
Really?
It's the spot where everyone goes at 2 in the morning.
Nando's.
You go to Nando's, and it's just like a big, everyone goes there drunk, and you eat it, and you munch it up. But it's basically just like El Pollo Loco, kind of. It was pretty good.
How far did you have to go out of your way to do it?
Not that far. They're all like right off the freeway.
It's like a...
It's like... Chipotle prices, I would say. But their whole thing is they have like 5 different sauces. And they're like spicy, garlicky, all that stuff. And they're in like huge bottles, like a size of a wine bottle or something like that. And they're all at the table for you to grab. So you can just get like a giant liter ball of the sauce and just pour it all over as much as you want.
Oh.
That's a fun element.
And peri-peri is, that's Filipino chicken, right?
No.
No.
Peri-peri is like Portuguese. South African.
That's okay. That's right.
It's like a lemony, spicy, garlicky, peppery kind of thing.
I only learned about peri peri chicken from watching Looking on HBO. So I've never eaten it.
That was a gay test, and you failed.
No, no, I was testing you guys. I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Peri Peri Chicken did appear on Gay Girls. I remember that. He wanted to open up a Peri Peri window.
Absolutely, Gay Girls.
Steer the ship the other direction.
Welcome to my third podcast. And we're back.
Speaking of
New York, I ate for the first time at Katz's Deli.
Oh, okay.
Never have I Katz'd before.
That's good. Katz with a K?
Katz with a K.
It's not Langer's.
I think what I would say about it is...
It's very different. It's kind of hard to compare those two.
It is different. I like the ordering process, and I like the atmosphere of the room. It's really classic and awesome. And I think the problem with it was delicious, but their pastrami is too moist. It's so moist that it's too moist. It's like when everyone says they want like a fall off the bone rib, there's a point, you don't want it to be too fall off the bony.
Or you don't want it to lose that much texture.
You still need to have some bite.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Katz's was too moist, which is good for some applications, maybe not a sandwich.
No, but you can't beat the room. Because Langer's has got a look to it, but it's not the typical Jewish deli look that you want it to have.
Mm-hmm.
And Katz's has got that in spades.
What neighborhood?
Lower East Side, kind of?
Yeah.
Chinatown, almost? Yeah, Lower East Side.
It's busy, like one of those iconic places. I never heard of it.
Yeah, you never heard of it? It's like, it's like the classic.
It's up there with like Stage.
It's like the Cantors of New York or something. Yeah.
Color me a mensch.
No, you're not a mensch.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised that was your first visit. Mm-hmm. Being the pastrami lover that I know you to be.
I'm not a huge pastrami eater. No? Like, I love it. Everyone loves it, but I don't.
Right.
It's one of those meals that you can't really eat that much. My girlfriend and I just watched the Deli Man documentary.
Oh, yep.
So she's like
about it.
Down to Del.
Yeah.
But like... You can't eat that food very often because it will give you gout.
No, and you have to plan the rest of your day around not being functional. after like for 4 hours because we're taking down those sky highs.
And those sandwiches are so expensive.
They are.
It's you should watch the Deli Man documentary. Do we talk about it?
We did.
Okay, yeah. Check it out. It's good. I downloaded it illegally.
Oh.
Support your local deli, though. Blah, blah, blah.
I definitely support my local delis.
I also went to a place called Sadell's, S-A-D-E-L-L-E-S, which is the Teresi guys.
Is that the guy from Tony, Tony, Tony?
Wow.
Raphael Sadiq? No?
That was awful. It is not Raphael Sadiq.
Please.
Teresi, they have a bunch of restaurants in New York. Teresi's super awesome. They have
really
Parm.
Good.
You went to Teresi, right?
And Parm.
Okay.
How good is Teresi? It's so good.
It's unbelievably good.
Describe it to the listeners.
Not overpriced. Not cheap.
Not cheap, not overpriced.
Not the easiest place to get into.
It's a tiny Italian tasting menu place where you go, there's less than 10 tables probably.
So I heard about it from you and Dan.
Yeah.
I went after.
Less than 10 tables, really hard to get a reservation. You have to get one super far in advance or do a walk-up and maybe get lucky. But yeah, it was like $80 or something like that, 85. And it's a tasting menu, but it's for Italian food, which I've never seen before.
Yeah, and it's so good.
So good. I mean, yeah, they start with like mozzarella, soft mozzarella that is still warm from them making it 5 minutes ago, with just like super the best olive oil you've ever had drizzled on top and some sea salt. And you can just eat that.
It's not high concept at all. It's very, to me, it's
all
very
the food
traditional.
All food is classic stuff, but it's just, and it's coursed perfectly, perfect amounts.
And if you can't get into Teresi, you can go to Parm, which is not the hardest place to eat at.
True.
But it's also very good.
Yeah. A bit of an Italian omakase. But
yeah.
this place, Sadell's, it's like, it's more of a Jewish deli breakfast spot. And their whole, it's kind of like the Wexler's of New York, but if it was super nice.
Lots of smoked fish.
So, yeah, lots of smoked fish, but it's like white tablecloth, really nice, expensive service. All the cooking ware and all the plates and everything are blue Le Creuset.
Really?
So, yeah, everything is just blue Le Creuset, like the plates, the pitchers of water, all that stuff.
That's so heavy.
So you're taking some of that home with you in the purse, is what you're trying to tell me.
It was a good vibe, but it was really expensive. But
did you get lox?
Yeah. When you get a bagel, you can get an everything bagel or an everything 2.0 bagel, where they just add like...
There's just a USB drive in the middle of your bagel?
Yeah, it just has like all the everything bagel seeds and spices, but just with like three more. They just like juice it up more.
So I want to know what these extra juices are.
I forgot what they were.
Right, right.
I mean, it wasn't anything like mind-numbing. No. It was just like we had like
coriander.
Fennel seed and some other stuff that they might not be in
there. So bulgogi is not one of the extras they throw on the everything bagel is what you're trying
no
to
bulgogi.
Tell me.
But when you order the bagel with cream cheese, the bagel comes out, it's toasted, and it's on a plate separately. And then all the accoutrements are on a three-tiered silver platter tower. Like if you
like a seafood tower?
Like a high thing? Like a high tea,
a high tea yeah.
Like
yeah,
a high
cucumber
tea
sandwich
cucumber sandwich tower. So like the top silver platter is the lox with like a little fresh dill or fennel green on top of that. And then the next level is cucumbers and then onion slices and then tomato slices and all the schmears that you want.
Your capers.
It was the full.
So just like a standard fare, like you when you get the bagel, this is what comes with it.
Yeah, you
There's
get a
no
bagel
like,
and lox.
Ooh, I'm gonna just get cucumbers and cream cheese and pay less. It's like no you get the tower.
You get the
and
whole thing.
Whatever you want,
and
eat.
That's what you want.
No, it sounds great to me. But
I mean, you have to pay $17 for it.
That's it.
How many bagels?
It wasn't that much.
I was kind of expecting it to be more.
For one.
That's a lot. That's an insane amount of money for a bagel, but you're also paying for an experience, and it sounds really cool.
You get a
How
bagel
was the bagel itself?
The bagel was very good.
Very good.
I mean, Wexler's is...
It wasn't the best bagel I've ever had.
No. Okay.
But it was. You go there for the experience.
Sure.
And it's very dope.
No, that seems reasonable.
And do they smoke their own lox there?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think they do everything there. And they have, like, you can see the bakery where they make...
Is lox smoked?
Smoked salmon?
No, yeah. Isn't Lox like treated with? I'm not a huge Lox person. So
I know one of them. I know one of them is smoked and one of them is cured.
But when it's super good, I forget. I do like a little bit on a bagel. I mean, I know people live for it, but
I really like the white fish at Wexler's with cream cheese. Just that, straight up.
Yep.
That one might be the best one I've ever had.
Yeah, that was. I'm late to the game. I had it in the heat wave. Because it was, I went to Grand Central and all the AC was out.
Ooh.
You know, it was kind of early in the morning.
Yeah.
So it seemed like the light thing to get. And then I realized once you get through your second half of the smoked fish, like, damn, this is like a sharing dish because it's so intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's delicious, but it's a big flavor. You got smoke your caper, strong. Your pickled onion. The smoke is strong. But man, mamacita, that was one of the best bagel experiences I've had in a long time.
So. Well, yeah, Wexler's is very tight.
Very impressive.
Not to be slept on. When we recorded the last episode, I was on my way to go take my girlfriend to birthday dinner at...
That's right.
At Twamec.
I haven't talked to you since then. All right, lay it on and go slow.
Okay, yeah,
don't
sorry.
Forget anything.
Real quick, yeah, smoke refers to salmon cured in sugar, salt, rub, or brine, like a gravlax.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Smoked salmon is different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, the Twamec, shout out to our man
petite.
Doug. The Big Daddy, not the Petite.
Yeah, not the
Chef
Petite.
Doug Fresh.
It's a crazy restaurant. First off, I've never seen a kitchen more well run and clean in my entire life. It looked like an operating room in there. It was the cleanest, most precise kitchen I've ever seen.
There's only a couple tables, and the rest of it's a bar. So the entire bar is set up in an open kitchen.
Right? Yeah. So there's a kitchen. Yeah.
So the
and then there's a bar that runs along the whole kitchen, and then you can sit at stools and watch, which is what you 100% have to do.
Yes.
There's no, if you don't sit at the bar, it's pointless.
Yes.
In my opinion. And then there's like three or four tables in the back. Yeah, I mean, it probably seats like
you have to buy
25.
Your tickets in advance online.
And it's very hard. Unless you have a food podcast.
Which is interesting. Which is interesting.
Which is very interesting. A lot of people don't like that.
Yeah.
But I see why they do that.
It's a small restaurant, very high cost quality ingredients, and they just can't have you canceling a reservation. It's not how the restaurant will function. So
yeah, and the way they do it is everybody who has a reservation, they do the ticket structure because everyone who has a reservation, they're grouped in with other tables at the same time. So I had like a 9:45 reservation or something like that, and me and four other tables had the same time. So every time they made a dish, they made 12 of them at the same time. And every person in the restaurant was like, you put the sauce on, you put the garnish on, you cook this. And it just goes like boom, 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 boom. And then the chefs all bring them out at the same time, present at the same time, tell you what it is. It was a great, great service experience. Like one dish we ordered, my girlfriend was, she went to use the restroom, and the chefs saw her go to the restroom while they were finishing our dish and they were about to bring it out. And then one guy points to the other guy and he like whispers to him, and then he like pulls open the little salamander broiler and puts our dishes in there and then like adjusts it just the perfect way and keeps them warming while she's in the bathroom. And then when she returns, they sit down and then they finish the dish and bring it out in front of her. So it doesn't like sit for a minute.
Class.
It was crazy, but the whole restaurant in my opinion is it's like the stoner crazy idea. All the crazy stoner weird bizarre food ideas that you come up with, it's that presented on the highest level, and it's just like a playground of crazy ideas. And sometimes it's gonna suck, and sometimes it's awesome.
Right.
But it was like they're making shit I've never seen in my entire life and never will, and not all of it was 100% winner, but you have to have some duds to have some crazy things that you'll never eat in your entire life and like discover new things. So it's kind of like if you're really rich and you can afford to eat there all the time, you're like a very food enthusiast kind of person and you want to like get your boundaries pushed, they will definitely do it.
Well, there's also a side. I mean, this is not my favorite thing about food in general. This, like, in general. Food to me is about sharing with friends and family and getting around a big table, and that's what brought me to food. Mm-hmm. But there is a definite element of food that is not necessarily about taste. And mm-hmm. I think on its highest level, most interesting level, I think there is a place for dishes. You know, they don't have to be all completely judged solely on the taste, as long as there's enough ones that are really mind-blowing.
Yeah.
There's some that are more conceptual and interesting, yeah, and kind of push your idea of how you're looking at food or thinking about food. Mm-hmm. It may not be the best thing you've ever eaten, but it's still worth experiencing.
Absolutely.
A good idea is great for me. It's just like the same way with arts and for music and everything.
It's like somebody
the craft
has a high concept
and
you buying a ticket to eat at this restaurant is like giving a grant to an artist, yeah, to just be like, hey, go nuts, yeah, and blow my mind.
That is a good analogy.
And sometimes it's going to suck and sometimes it's going to be like... Mm-hmm. You have to do it on that high level in order, and you have to have an audience.
And sucking in this context is basically just not being the best thing you've, right, ever eaten. Because
nothing is gross.
Nothing is not great.
It's just lesser than compared to the foods that you're eating.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, you're really judging food in that environment. You know, like
you really
when you're going
are.
There, when you have to buy the ticket online and mm-hmm. you have to wait, and it's such a presentation. I mean, everything is pushing your attention to looking and thinking about the food.
Yes.
And that in itself changes the experience of how you're dining.
Mm-hmm. It's an audience.
You're forced to over-intellectualize and judge the food the
Absolutely.
Entire meal. And that changes the dining experience. And that's not to say that it's not a good one.
It's not
one you have every Tuesday.
Yeah. Sometimes
it's tricky.
I say every once in a while it's fun to do that, and you kind of feel like you're on Iron Chef,
yeah,
judging these
exactly.
crazy, you know, and
yeah,
it, and you can sit there and you could talk to them and be like, is there a blah 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 in there? And they're like, yeah, there's a little bit of that, and then they'll tell you how they made it if you are inquisitive, and they're all like really cool chefs. But
the tough thing about, and this even goes down to reservations for me, period. Obviously, in LA or anywhere else, it's like the high demand spots or the sexy new places or the places that push the boundaries, like you kind of need a res. And the tricky thing is if you make that res reservation 3 weeks in advance, 3 months in advance, what happens if that day you had a really bad day and you're not in the mood for that? That's why, I mean, I always just go out to dinner when I feel like it and go to the bar. I actually don't even like making plans, like dinner plans with friends, because that's 2 days ago. What if that day I just don't want to be around anybody and I'm exhausted? I just want to take a bath and eat a grilled cheese sandwich.
True.
So that's the trick.
It's an extreme version of that scenario, but
yeah,
I get what you're saying.
I just want to eat a grilled cheese in the bath.
Like, you know, what if the Lakers will lose that night? I don't even know what's going on, man.
That's true, man.
the craziest dish that I had there, which is one that Doug came up with, and it was like the little extra side dish that he gave to us. It was a bowl of chorizo cream. So it was like a very pale orange cream, and it's cold, and it has like a nice thick cream consistency, but it also tastes like chorizo. So that part is weird. And then there is a scoop of cornichon granita, an ice cream scoop of it. So
that's
literally
insane.
Just like frozen pickle ice cream, a scoop of that.
Oh, I love that. I mean, that
on top
like,
of it, and then they get
so
like
good.
the greatest cantaloupe you've ever had, and shave it super thinly on a mandolin, and then drape that on top of that. So it's like, and it's this, and the orange cantaloupe is the same exact color as the chorizo cream. So it just looks like cantaloupe with like a cantaloupe sauce, and then when you break into it, it's like the super dark cornichon green, and it's like a frozen pickle thing going on there. And I ate it, and I was like, this is insane. It blew my mind.
It's always interesting too how they, you know, depending on the restaurant, that kind of high level of presentation and experimentation. I mean, they're also playing with colors.
Mm-hmm.
He's working at that cream to get it the color to match the cantaloupe, because visually you're looking at something that has two so distinctive flavors, but look the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
So your brain starts to get like kind of blown and figuring it out, and you're not expecting what's going on there, and you know, and that's part of kind of that next level of conceptualizing these dishes.
I mean, it's the playfulness you get from Ferran Adrià, you know, just like, oh, I want to make something that matches the color of this cantaloupe, then you go through your brain, and it's just funny to use that analogy because that sounds like a dish that he would use because chorizo is so indicative of Spain. But I mean, Jason got me this book 2 Christmases ago. It's A Day in the Life of
El Bulli.
El Bulli.
And I would highly recommend it. And it seems like a cocktail book, but I went through every page and read every caption and every printed word on that thing. And
it's really user-friendly. This is just stuff you can make at your house for whenever people come over.
No, but it's inspiring it turns on your playful brain.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's just like they're tricking you, but you know, it's not like with a knife behind your back, is with a smile. Like, haha, like, try that. It's going to taste like...
the Spaniards love a foolish game, don't they?
Well, you know, I know.
But, I mean, that's Jose Andres.
Yeah.
And, like, the El Bulli, and then... is Doug of Spanish descent?
Our Doug? Doug Fresh?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like all of those restaurants... that do the crazy playful stuff, a lot of them are Spanish vibes. I guess they're just cheeky little monkeys, aren't they?
Yeah.
But the next time I go, I'm gonna smoke weed before just really go in. But it opens up your playful open mindedness with food.
I wonder if Doug did work at Bazaar. I wouldn't be surprised.
So you would go again. Down.
I would go again.
Yes.
Like a year though, probably.
I think the menu changes like monthly or something like that. It's one of those things. And the other weird part about it is the menu changes monthly, so you never know. Like the stars have to align. Like the your favorite menu that they've ever made may have been 2 years ago in February, or it might be in 2018 in August, or it may have been the week that you happen to go. Or the least favorite menu they've ever done could be the day that you went or not. So, like, you're really rolling the dice and putting yourself in their hands, and they're like, we're going to cook this. The main course is an eggplant dish.
Tonight
and you might hate eggplant.
Monkfish liver in all of the dishes.
Yeah. And it could be something that you absolutely love, or it could be something that you really don't like. And you take that gamble. And it's fun knowing that, like, what if this time I go, it's going to be the best thing I've ever had in my life.
I guess if you're a picky eater, a finicky eater, if you have a food allergy, I mean, tasting menus aren't really for you.
No.
But
that is the opposite of what
But the highest echelon, and you email and make your res, like, you probably could have them cater something for you. So, or taper something for you, which is possible.
Yeah.
So there's a threshold, you know? If there's that advanced thing, you can have that dialogue. And they like that dialogue. I remember coming from restaurants and even when I've few and far between, but I've worked in the finer dining area. It's cool when a vegan comes in. It's like, I'll make something.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, it's fun. You know? It's just because I'm just like, I've made the same thing even 2 weeks at a time, let alone 2 months or 2 years. Like, you just start to get over it if that's your personality. If you're really a creative person, you're like, well, yeah, I've got this and this and this and this. You know?
Mm-hmm.
What are you into?
What are you into?
Fun. Let me take you on a ride.
Are you into broccoli? That's all we have. We have broccoli.
Cue the Smashing Pumpkins.
But it was tight. We will all go back again one time.
Mm-hmm. I still want
smoke a little, drink a little.
It's totally
wear a suit. Maybe it has that vibe.
Yeah, it's on my list. It's absolutely always what do you do for your birthday dinner? What do you want? You know, like special occasion. I'm always like. Oh.
Super expensive. I feel bad for my girlfriend because I was like, we're going to TwiMac for your birthday. And then the whole time she's like, you having fun? Like it felt like it was my birthday.
Right.
I felt kind of bad.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry, babe.
Well, that's why they've got un petit toi. We can get a nice creepy.
Or petit toi, which has the best omelet I've ever had in my life.
Well, that's on my to-do list. And
we'll do it, Stewie.
Get some of those guys on the podcast soon. Hopefully.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully?
Hopefully.
I think we should.
Okay, done.
And I'm really excited. Do we even talk about Alegria selling to the...
Have we not mentioned it?
To the 12? I mean, it's not like it's not known.
Maybe we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're taking over a spot in Silver Lake, which should be interesting.
We'll see. I heard it might be Mexican. A Mexican.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Little birdie.
Is it going to be a Paquito Mas?
It's
Paquito toi? Paquito
we'll
tres?
Paquito. Tres porquitos?
Tres porquitos.
No, that's a dish at one of our favorite restaurants in Eagle Rock Cacao.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sí, sí, claro que sí.
You guys have anything else?
Yeah, I had a few things, but
lay it on us.
Yeah, give it
a power. Few and far between.
I have a little one too. It might be the same as you.
So a couple weeks ago for your guys' birthday, I made pulled pork.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
And I made a huge mistake. I think it was really oversalted. And I think what it was, I know what it was, but
luckily everyone was drunk.
Forgot. Yeah, people enjoyed it. It yeah. all got eaten, all 12 pounds of it, but.
Yeah,
12 pounds?
Yeah, there was you brought a lot.
Holy mackerel.
But I finished the pulled pork after I forked it apart with some of the au jus,
mm-hmm.
forgetting how heavy my salt rub was on the outside of the pulled pork,
mm-hmm.
and kind of really didn't pay attention, and that's not something you can really come back from.
No.
So
how would you fix that?
I think I didn't need to use as much as I did, period. But it was the au jus is just so delicious.
It's really hard not to pour all of those meat juices all over the pulled pork
amazing.
Afterwards.
It's fantastic. So
would you maybe cut that with something else to make it less salty?
I mean, usually
ranch?
the only thing you're able to do to try and do that is add more liquid or try. I mean, sometimes people say you can get a little sugar in there and that can help, but it just doesn't. It doesn't. It's always going to. I mean, salty is one of those things. Sugar you can come back from way easier than you can something like salting.
So maybe take that au jus and hit it in the spray bottle and then just give it a light misting.
No, it was more because it was just getting dumped in to be tossed and. In the end, it was one of those moments where I was like, if I could share this with other people so it doesn't happen to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
maybe less salt in the initial rub?
Again, people didn't... Yeah, I mean, it could be.
This is a scared straight for all you pulled porkers out there.
Salt and sugar is kind of hard, kind of important for the bark on the outside.
Yeah.
To really kind of get those outer pieces
pulls the moisture
out. Textured, and it
mm-hmm.
does. But watch that au jus.
Watch that Jew.
Yeah, watch that Jew.
Mm. It's coming for you. That reminds me, they're doing on that on the YouTube channel for Chef Steps, which you showed me about.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Definitely has become my favorite YouTube channel. They do.
They're always so quick, but so full of. You know, it's like a full journey every time you watch it, and they can do something in 30 seconds better than anybody I know who makes food videos have. Like,
and they're
a
all like 21 years old, and it kind of pisses me off that they're so knowledgeable. But
and all those videos are just ads to take their classes because they don't actually tell you what they're doing; they just kind of show you. Really
no,
quickly.
No, there's you should see the new stuff.
Oh, they're actually
they'll
like
just fully show you. They'll have like a barbecue master come on and be like, "This is how I make the best ribs that win every competition." And they're like, okay, we're going to make that in the oven without a smoker.
Right.
And then the guy will be like, God damn it, these are really good ribs. and like, this is how he made a fake smoke ring, and this is how he did this, and this is how he did this. And then
that's amazing.
You're just blown away. And then then they'll also have a random video where they're like, we're going to show you how to make a latte without adding any cream or sugar to black coffee. And they just take coffee, put it in a blender, and then put in a scoop of xanthan gum and blend it, and your black coffee becomes velvety and silky with a foamy head in 10 seconds. It just zaps all the air bubbles and suspends the air bubbles in there, so you have the frothy cappuccino top on a cup of black coffee. It doesn't alter the flavor whatsoever, and it just feels like you're drinking cream.
It's amazing. Have you tried it yet?
I have not tried it, but I have xanthan gum.
I wonder.
We need to try that.
Wonder if it's.
I watched a 31-minute video on YouTube of Aaron Franklin breaking down a brisket.
Mm.
Like, it was at, I think, the University of Texas's master cooking class, and they just had the video online from his lecture. But the coolest thing was that it, you know, and it was long, and it could have been edited down. I mean, it was a lecture. It wasn't necessarily made
for... the lights down low, light a candle.
Yeah.
Mm.
But he just took it basically from the package, sealed from the package. So you could really actually replicate it, as opposed to when they already have the pre-butchered meat, and they're like, you're looking for the point here and
mm-hmm.
the fat cap here on the underside. This is what you want your brisket to look like. But no one's going to do that for you unless you go to your butcher shop, have them sit down and watch a half-hour video and then replicate that, which they're not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this was kind of cool. It was a cool video because it, like, literally if you took an entire full brisket out from the packaging and just started trimming it. This is where it was going to separate. This is what you're going to do with it. This is how you're, I mean, it was like great.
It's something that
made me want to go back to college.
Yeah, yeah. Like somebody be like, I will pay you $10,000 to show me how to do this.
Exactly.
And it was for free.
That was very cool.
Well, are you going to go to meat camp?
Going to meat camp.
Oh, baby.
When is that? That's coming up soon, huh?
October 16th.
Oh, baby. That's very soon.
I'm excited.
I was listening to an interview with the woman who owns Bel Campo.
Yeah, she's really cool. I've heard her interviewed a few times too.
On KCRW.
She's very cool.
And it's crazy. They're saying like one cool thing that they're doing because they grow all of their own cattle themselves and humanely raise them and slaughter them and all that stuff. Because grass-fed beef can be kind of finicky and weird and a lot of people don't enjoy it as much, they find out which cows are making the preferred grass-fed beef flavor and texture.
Better flavor profile for the breed.
And then they are taking those and breeding them together in hopes that in a few years, their whole fleet will just be that type
of
cow.
Amazing.
Like, just better tasting cows.
Dang.
And they, since they do all of it from scratch, they're able to have full control of all of
it. Yeah, they have the entire ecosystem, especially too, because that slaughterhouse license that I think we mentioned before, they're very hard to get, and there's not that many in California, and it's an expensive process to be certified to do it. Mm. So they really do get to control from beginning to finish, mm-hmm. You know, the life quality of their animals, which is very cool.
Shoot. Well, I was just excited they started doing brunch.
Nailed it.
I heard they have a goddamn
nailed it.
Pretty nice breakfast burrito. Looking to test out.
Really?
I'll get some feedback for you real soon. Next pod.
Wonderful, Stuart. Yeah. Wonderful. We can't wait to hear.
What I'm really looking forward to, my next on-site, be going to Clipson's Cafeteria soon.
Oh, I know.
That's
so it's supposed to open
so
today.
Cool. No, they pushed it back.
They pushed back like 4 days.
Either they push it back. It'll be like tomorrow or the next day.
I took Maggie there early on when we first started dating. And when I was reading that it had been closed for 4 years, I was like, oh, shit.
I never went to it.
Me neither.
Well, what it is, it's like an old, from like the 30s or something like that, an old style cafeteria that existed downtown.
In a department store.
Yeah, they could serve 500 people at a time, you know, like the whole thing.
And I don't think it was particularly known for having the best food, but it was part of the experience.
I think it was just,
but it wasn't bad food. It was like, you know.
Right. It was like a mini Disneyland super kitsch inside of downtown Los Angeles.
Right.
If you look it up and look at old photos of before and afters, the recent facade is like a very banal kind of chrome, but underneath there's bricks and arches and old like hand painted sign work, and then on the inside there's crazy trees and the whole like
working
fake angler setup. It's
so
animatronics, it's like and whatnot.
A working fountain or a working creek that runs through it. It ran through the old one.
I've been to Randy's Cafe.
Well,
but it was also it was a chain too. It was like they had 11 of them at one point, and it got to the point because of that eating style, and you know, it wasn't really enough to have the flow and crick to bring people in to eat.
Huh. And it was really cheap, wasn't it?
It wasn't expensive, but it wasn't cheap.
Exactly.
You know, $8-$10 that was to the eat deal. Lunch, so it's not, you know, expensive, but also, you know, it wasn't like 30 cents for a pastrami.
No.
Lastly, I'm going to go get some Szechuan Chinese food tonight.
Oh, you're going to Chengdu Taste.
I'm not going to Chengdu. I forgot where I'm going. It's a different place.
There's a lot of good ones.
There's a lot of good ones with some friends. But my knowledge is not very strong in that game. What are your like favorite dishes to order from a Szechuan Chinese place?
You know, what's amazing, especially with like what the Chengdu Taste has done, is there's just a lot of dishes that you're really hard-pressed to find or be familiar with.
Right.
But the great thing about Szechuan cooking and the heat you get from Szechuan peppercorns is it's not like that lingering oil you get from a chili pepper or what you'd find in Mexican or Indian cooking when the spice is really heavy.
Yeah.
It's a numbing. It's a numbing heat. It's not
favorite.
A really painfully lingering heat. That's the other thing about Szechuan peppers is that that numbing kind of subsides as well, and you'll still sweat and you'll be like, oh my god, this is hot, but it won't be like when you eat that ghost pepper or you get a jalapeno or not jalapeno, like a habanero seed, and you're just like, I can't,
and you're like, I have to go home now.
Never goes away. Like, coach your mouth,
my night is done.
But you know, they're going to be doing lots of really great probably fish in different kinds of Szechuan chili oils. And there was something too, I forgot to say the article, but there's also like even a secret menu at Chengdu Taste too, where you can order stuff off the menu, which blows my mind because it's not It's not a light menu.
The regular
option.
Menu is already very extreme.
Traditionally, Szechuan restaurants, they have it's a big menu.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they, I would go with some recommendations. I would go with tell me about this. What do you think? Okay. No, I mean like when you get there.
Ask an actual Szechuan person and not you.
Yeah.
Got it.
Szechuanese.
Szechuanese. Mm. Well, I'll let you guys know how it goes. How nummy I feel.
I'm thinking about going to the Tam O'Shanter after this.
Oh, so fun.
Same diff.
And also next week, we'll give a report. This is going to come out after I did it, but I'll be DJing and interviewing the guy from Alma, Ami.
Oh, nice.
We're going to be talking about some weird stuff, not unlike this, and I'll be DJing it, but it's an event for Taste Made, and there's like...
So you're going to be DJing, and then you're going to be doing a live interview with him in front, like kind of in the audience? Nice.
John and Vinny's guys are going to be
John
there.
John and
Vinny's
guys,
Kitchen.
Nancy Silverton.
Saw that.
Corzo and Mia.
Out Nancy.
Lou Lefebvre, right? Did I see that on the flyer? No, Ludo?
I don't
didn't
know,
see
maybe.
Him on there. Peanut Butter Wolf.
No, Ludo.
Sure.
No, Ludo.
Peanut Butter Wolf is going to be cooking nothing, actually. He'll be also... playing tracks.
I'll give a full report. If this podcast comes out somehow tomorrow instead of Saturday, then you should go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be there.
We'll give a full report.
Right?
Throw a tweet up.
Well, thanks, guys. It's been another great stew. You can go to thestewpodcast.com for all the episodes. If you like the show, and if you are, you know, shout outs to our random housewife mom listener.
Oh, I'm pronouncing this right.
From Instagram.
Like Lina Patrick. Lina Kirkpatrick. Lynna Kirkpatrick.
She let us know that she's just one of our average random housewife mom listeners who thinks we're funny. So shout outs to you.
Yeah, that little tweet to us made our day. Everybody here at this table.
I think our mom even gave dap as well. Dap to her via Instagram. It was very sweet.
Threw out a couple emojis on the comment section.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you're one of those people, all we ask, tell a friend who might like this. Subscribe on iTunes, give us a nice rating and review, and then we'll keep on podding for you. You can follow me on social media at themjeans. Andre Conaparo has no social media, and Stewie is at Stewie Stewart.
That's my Twitter, and Stu Stewart is my Instagram.
Yes, not confusing at all.
They were taken.
See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.